Heavenly Father, on this Christmas Eve, 2,000 years after the great event of your Son's coming into our world, we continue to hold vigil, to keep faith and watch, celebrating tonight because Jesus has come. Celebrating tonight because Jesus, by your Spirit, is living within the heart of everyone who has received Him by faith. And celebrating tonight because we look forward to the day when Jesus Christ comes again into our world as the King of Kings. And every eye will behold Him and see Him. You set up your kingdom in all of its fullness and power. We look forward to these things. And we celebrate your birthday tonight, Lord Jesus, thanking you for coming to be our Savior. Hear our prayer and have joy as we celebrate your birthday and our salvation. In your precious name, Lord, amen. We'll just follow our program through this evening at this time and invite Brother Wilfred and Sister Melita to lead the young children in the presentation of their Christmas songs and verses.
In those days, Caesar Augustus ensured a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you.
brought to us by James and Yuko. We continue with Silent Night in Dance. Janie Lou. I hope you noticed that closing gesture reaching out. Christ is born for you and for me and for the whole world. He's given so much, and in the spirit of His gift, we also give tonight. And at this time, our deacons will be collecting our special offering. And quite appropriately, since the gift is salvation, we're giving to the Salvation Army and the work they do here in this region. So I call upon our deacons at this time as we give our gifts of worship to King Jesus. I think the most beautiful music of the year is at this time, don't you? I'd like you to turn with me We've heard the story, but I'm just going to take a few verses from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. A familiar passage. And verses 1 through 7. If you'll follow with me in a moment after I pray, we'll consider the story that still speaks so powerfully today. Heavenly Father, we come now to hear from your word, to reflect, to remember, and to believe the great gift that we've received in Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who has not truly received you, who has never asked you to take up residence in their heart, we pray that as your word is shared this evening, that faith will be created in their hearts and that you would move in and take your rightful place. Create faith, create desire, and save lives, we pray, here and throughout the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. These were old times, ancient days, and yet there are some striking similarities with our own day. It tells us that at that time, the empire, the Roman authorities, decreed a census of the entire empire. And of course, the census, we know why they take those. That's to assess taxes. There was a cash crunch in the empire at the time that Jesus was born. How appropriate. As Christmas embraces the world, we also have noted that a deepening recession blankets the nations, causing distress. We wonder, will our new president-elect have to raise taxes? Probably. We've been trying to meet this problem. There have been concerns about loss of entire industries, the automobile industry, the big three in the United States, GM, Ford, is it Chevrolet? I don't know. We've got so many others as well. But millions of jobs that stand to be lost if they aren't bailed out. So our times aren't much different. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world because the treasuries in Rome needed new fuel for the economy. There was expansion. There were wars to be fought. There were roads to be paved. There were baths to be created and public buildings to be built. And whatever else Rome was doing in those days. It hasn't changed much. We're still trying to keep the economy of the world going. And so I found myself thinking of the true cost and the economy of Christmas in our time. God's great riches in the midst of our recession. I want to ask a kind of a quiz for you all. You know, as people are worried about losing their homes, foreclosures are at record highs, and industries teeter and totter on the brink of disaster. Every one of us has a very important possession, maybe one of the most important possessions that you really have. And I'll give you a hint. You brought it with you tonight. You were born with it. I'll see if you can guess. You were born with it, and you brought it with you tonight, and you'll take it with you when you go. Do you know what I'm talking about? One of your most important possessions. Melford? Well, not everybody has that right away. If you ask him into your heart and life, you have him. That's the most important. We're going to talk about that. Think about apart from Jesus, if you can for a moment. You brought it in with you. You'll take it when you go. You were born with it. Let's see. I'm going to go for Jesus' heart? No, that's a good guess. Sarah? Sin? Yeah, we were born with that. And you're going to take it with you, I hope, when you go. Don't leave the stuff here. We're doing well. Let me try again, someone else. This is something that you really take care of, and you do a lot of stuff to it every day. Okay, I'm going to... Judy, go ahead. Awesome. Ka-ching, ka-ching. And the duck comes down, give the woman a cigar. Your body. Every one of us was born with one. We take it everywhere we go. We brush it, we bathe it, we clothe it, we feed it. It's pretty important. I mean, where could you go without your body? Man. So, I want you to think about your body tonight, because this is very tied up in the whole message and the purpose of Christmas. We've been concerned around the world about foreclosures, people losing their homes. Did you know that the Bible talks about our body as being our home? Peter says, one day we'll put off these tents. He's talking about our body. It's like our house. And I don't want to give you the wrong idea. It's not like you are just somehow inside your body. You are, and yet you are your body too. You know, when God made us in the very beginning, it says He took from the dust of the earth and He formed and He fashioned a man and He breathed upon it. And it isn't that He breathed a soul, a person, into that clay and dirt. It's He breathed upon it, and what He made became a living soul. The body and whatever else we are, all together, our consciousness, our sense of knowing who we are, our will, our emotions, everything about us, all together, with this body, is a living soul. Now you've got to understand that. So the house is everything that we are. And we do everything we can to take care of the body. Think about the economy of the world, the whole reason we make money. If we didn't have to feed a body, we'd never get hungry, and you wouldn't have to work. If we didn't have to protect our bodies from the elements and the weather and that, if they didn't have the danger of freezing to death or overheating, we wouldn't need to build houses. If you didn't have a body, you wouldn't have to buy designer clothes and hoodies and cool sneakers, skeds and whatever. What are the really cool shoes these days? Vans, that's right. Okay, I'm so dumb. Vans, you know, you wouldn't have to buy all that stuff if you didn't have a body. Everything we do, you know, Jesus said that the people in the world, they all worry about what they're going to eat, where they're going to live, what they're going to wear. The whole world runs after these things. He says, well, that's what the economy is all about. It's how we work for, how we make the money or the symbol of currency in exchange so that we can buy from one another the stuff we need to take care of this house. That's why we buy homes. Sometimes we buy homes much bigger than anybody needs. But we do it anyway. The eyes that love to see beautiful things is why, again, we make all kinds of art and why we make music and instruments. So everything that can be bought and sold all revolves around meeting the needs and the wants and the desires of the body. Now, so you understand, that really is, of all the possessions that God gave us, this is one of those really big ticket items. It's important. And you can't just go down to Guam Premium Outlet and buy another one. You buy stuff to give people to put on their bodies or to put in their bodies or something. But Christmas is all about a body. Taking care of our bodies. Because here's the deal. People are all worried about the mortgage crisis and losing their homes, the foreclosures. Folks, we've got a bigger problem that people have been ignoring for generations. Well, some people have been listening, but these bodies, they don't last forever. It's interesting. I had picked up some information. Picked it up off the internet. Do you know how much the human body is worth? Oh, well, here, listen to this. When it's broken down into fluids, tissues, and germ fighting, our bodies are worth more than $45 million. Wow, could we just put ourselves up for collateral with a bank? We'd have no problem meeting the budget. The price tag on the human body is based on a survey published in Wired magazine that found that vital organs are no longer the most valuable body parts. Rather, bone marrow heads the list. It's priced at $23 million, based on 1,000 grams at $23,000 per gram. DNA can fetch $9.7 million, while extracting antibodies can bring $7.3 million. A lung? Anybody want to guess? What do you want to guess for a lung? $50 million? Oh, well, that's more than what our total is. It's worth $116,400. A kidney goes for $91,400, and a heart, $57,000. I won't go into some of the other body parts here. These aren't quite for family consumption. But anyway, you don't have to feel like $1 million. You can feel like $45 million instead. Who made the body? Everybody. God. God made the body. Guess what? We're only renters. We've got a mortgage on our very lives. This didn't just happen by accident or chance that our body just sprung from the clay. It wasn't just some lightning strike on the primordial soup of some oozing sea of goop. That's the pseudoscience taught in so many of our schools around the planet. But no, God pulled together the elements. He breathed upon it with his mighty word and a command, and we became a living soul. Adam, Eve, and all the children born from their bodies since. $45 million apiece, and we're renters. Or at least, we're paying a monthly mortgage, a daily, second by second mortgage. We owe God everything. And you know what? He's going to require a payment. We're going to have to pay for these bodies, or someone else is. And the thing is, our first parents damaged these bodies with sin. God designed them with the capacity to live forever. But our first parents didn't want to walk in God's ways. That's what the Bible tells us. And we went our own way. And guess what? We sold ourselves. And even these bodies that we don't own, we sold them into slavery under sin to serve the evil ruler. Not as powerful as God, a fake and a pretender, but we sold ourselves into slavery to the evil one. And yet we owe God for our very lives. Anyone here expect that you're going to be able to pay $45 million? before your lifetime's up? I don't even expect to retire with that much. You know, the psalm puts it this way, and long before anybody on the internet or magazine tried to calculate the cost, Psalm 49, 7 and 8 says it this way. It says, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay." No price, no mere man, no mere human being can do it, except with one exception. That's why Jesus came into the world. He was no mere man. He was the everlasting Son of God, the uncreated Spirit, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, all-loving, all-righteous, all-wonderful. Hebrews 10:5 says, quoting the prophecies about Jesus, "But a body you have prepared for me." Jesus came into our world and was born into a body, became the God-man, in order to live the perfect and the sinless life. God prepared a body for him for a very specific purpose. Not to stay forever that cuddly little baby in the manger, but to grow up, to grow in favor and wisdom before God and man, to live in perfect obedience to the righteous law that every one of us here has broken, and every other human being on this planet, putting ourselves into deep debt that we can never pay. Jesus came precisely in a human body that he might have it put to death. Sacrifice to once and for all pay that huge looming debt that hangs over every one of our heads. He let his perfect body, his perfect spirit and soul, all in that union together, suffer on the cross with the weight of our sins upon him. With this proviso, that whoever would believe on him, put their faith in him, and ask him to come and live in their hearts and lives, that he would do just that, and he would forgive our sins, that he would clothe us and cover our sin with his righteousness, so that even though our bodies, as the Bible says, because of sin, will die, they will yet live. We will be raised up. You know, the world is worried about losing the houses that cover and shelter the body. But we ignore the house, don't we? We take this for granted. It's so much a part of us. We're so used to going everywhere with it that we don't even think about the inestimable worth of this amazing equipment through which we move and touch and embrace and express love and appreciate beauty. We take it all for granted, but this is far more costly than any other house or building that will be built on this world. This body needs to be paid for. We can't, and no other human being, but only one, Jesus Christ. He can pay the debt for this amazing creation that we are. A lot of people are ignoring the danger of the foreclosure on this house. The Bible says it's appointed a person once to die, and after this, a judgment. Every one of us is going to experience that time. We may be young, we may be older, but there's a set date for every one of us here tonight when God is going to call us to stand before him. This body will die, and our spirit will stand before him, and there's only going to be one question he's going to ask. It's going to be, "What have you done with my son Jesus Christ?" Did you accept the payment that he made for your sin? Or did you reject him and try to go it on your own? Everybody's rushing, trying to buy things for their houses, trying to buy presents and sometimes meaningless gifts to just be up in the season of giving. Or, as we're being told by our economists, spend, spend, spend like there's no tomorrow so that our economy will stoke up and we'll all survive. We're all worried about these things, running after them. Yet the Scripture asks, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? A body God prepared for his Son, that he could pay our mortgage. I just want to ask you to think very carefully tonight, to be very sure that you have asked Jesus into your heart and your life, that you've said, Jesus, come, forgive my sin, pay this unbelievable debt that I owe, that I may live in this body free and clear, free of sin, free of any other obligation except to live righteously for you. That's what Christmas is about. And God's economy, folks, is something that everybody's going to have to deal with. Because when we die, you don't have to give another thought to what house you're going to build, what loan you're going to pay, whose kids you're going to put through college, whose braces you're going to buy, or what. That's all over. You're going to stand there before God. And if you stand there clothed in Jesus Christ, good news, you'll live forever. He'll restore the body that died. He'll renew us and give us new bodies that are immortal. It'll never again be subject to illness. Received a Christmas card just today from an English professor's wife who is a librarian, kind of helped scoot Janie Lou and I together, and her adult son Doug back in Iowa. Read about them every year. They tell us this and that. Doug from, I think, high school had terrible epilepsy, and all the years since to this present day, no treatment they've ever given him has freed him from the seizures. And now I hear that, you know, he's my age and he's in a nursing home in Sioux Center because of neuropathy that has crippled him from the knees down, because of multiple myeloma cancer that has attacked his body. And Emma writes and says, well, I had a fall this year, and I broke the bone just below my right shoulder, and it never healed, so I've lost the use of that. But people help us, and Doug is starting to walk again with a walker, and gentlemen help us, and we get him to church, and he really likes that. And we're just so thankful for how good God is. And I love taking care of my son. And I'm thinking, all that pain, all that betrayal of the body, this wondrous machine, and yet because of Jesus, he says, I love to help my son, and we love being in church together. And when I see all kinds of people with their aches and pains and their cancers and their tragedies, bitter and angry about their lot, I just marvel that there wasn't a bit of bitterness here. There's just this factual report and thanksgiving. That's the testimony and the mark of someone who has Jesus living in their heart and life, who knows that one day their bodies will be made whole again, because God prepared for Jesus a body so that he could bear our sins to a cross and die for us. This is a Savior we celebrate. And I'm going to pray now, and if there's anyone who isn't absolutely sure that you received Christ, I'm going to invite you to just pray quietly with me. And I'm going to invite the rest of you to just pray along with thanksgiving that Jesus has paid the mortgage and given us the certain promise of an everlasting house, a body with which we will love him and enjoy each other for an everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is a serious recession around the planet. Nations where there's starvation because fuel prices are still out of sight. They're more than they were, even though things have been dropping. The houses are still being lost. The ranks of the homeless are increasing. There's just a lot of distress in the world, much like the world you were born into. And yet, Lord, so many people ignore the danger to their soul. I pray tonight that as we celebrate you, that if there's anyone here who hasn't received you, they would just say tonight in their heart with me, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I've ignored you for a long time. I haven't taken your promises seriously. But tonight, somehow, your Spirit has touched me. And I just want to tell you, I believe you. And I need you. And I ask you to come in to my heart. Pay my sin debt. Clear the mortgage that hangs over my life. And grant me the title deed to eternal life, to an abundant life, to life forever with you and with all your people. Hear my prayer, Lord. For those of us who do know you, Lord, make us ever more grateful, whether our bodies suffer illness or whether we enjoy health. May we glorify you with our bodies, and may we celebrate the freedom that we have been given because you paid the ransom for our lives. We ask this in Jesus, your name. Amen. I'm going to ask James and Yuko to come again and sing for us, Glory, Glory to the Newborn King.
Children, go and tell it on the mountain, Lord. over the hills and everywhere. Why don't you go there on the mountain low, that Jesus Christ is
born.
Go and tell it on the mountain low, over the hills and everywhere. Why don't you go there on the mountain low, that Jesus Christ is glory, 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 that Jesus Christ is glory, 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 that Jesus Christ is mountain low, over the hills and everywhere. Why don't you go there on the mountain low, that Jesus Christ is born. Go and mountain low, over the hills and everywhere. Why don't you go set it on the mountain low, that Jesus Christ is glory, 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 that Jesus Christ is glory, 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 that Jesus Christ is glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, 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 the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory to 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 the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory
to the newborn King.
If I fail to mention, that's one of those wonderful things that we do with these bodies that God has given us. Praise the Lord. I think that's why the Lord wants us to worship Him with singing. As we bring our service to a close, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the true light that came into our darkness, and we're told the darkness, all the evil, all the sin, all the confusion, couldn't comprehend, couldn't overcome, couldn't put Jesus' light out. And His light has become the light that enlightens every man, every woman, every child who will receive Him. And so we're going to get ready with our candles, and I'm going to give Doug just a little different instruction. We leave here singing Joy to the World, and that's in 270 in your hymnal. We're going to light the candles, and there's going to be a musical number that's played during that. Then I'm going to have him pause that when it comes to the end. And we'll stand. The lights will be turned off. And I think maybe I can ask my son, Paul, would you be by the lights to turn those off when the candles, maybe after two rows of the candles are lit? And we'll light up this room. Our candles symbolize the light of Christ in each of our lives. And it's a reminder that it's Christ in you and me that brings this light to the world so that others can see and believe. And when all the candles are lit and that lighting instrumental is done, we'll pause, and then I'll cue Doug to do Joy to the World. And we'll sing that on our way out. When you go out through those two doors, you woof your candles out. Those ones, the light in your heart, don't woof that out ever. You just go on shining for Jesus. Amen? And but we'll go out, we'll woof those candles out, make sure they're out, and then put them back down on the table out there. And then we're going to have refreshments together, more sugar and a few healthy treats than a body ought to have. And so let's stand together and be ready. And as the candles are being lit, I'll start it on a few of the first rows. But what you do is you hold your candle straight. Don't tip your lit candle. Hold it straight, and the person next to you will tip theirs and get their light, okay? That's the safety protocol. This is how it's done all around the world. One person with a light passing it on to the next and to the next. This is the evangelism of Christmas, sharing the good news. And Christmas in this way should be kept all year round, every year, until our King comes again to gather his people to himself. We'll be ready to sing as soon as it comes. There's a little orchestral lead-in, but you'll recognize it.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let heaven and nature sing.
Nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.